questions and answers, and we'll get back to that. But this holiday got in the middle, and having liberty as pastor, I've decided to take advantage of this occasion to preach on thankfulness or giving thanks and having a thankful spirit. A wise man once said, I was thinking about this afternoon, I cannot remember. That's a sure sign of old age. As my 62nd birthday looms right around the corner, it seems my mind has decided to take leave. And if I don't write it down anymore, it's gone. But somebody, and I couldn't for the life of me, I cast about in my mind, and I couldn't come up with the answer. I don't remember who said it. But somebody once said, a man who is not thankful is well nigh hopeless. And I've thought about that saying off and on over the years, and that's the gospel truth. That may not be a Bible verse, but it's the truth. When a person gets to where they can't be thankful for what God has done, what God has done through others, God works directly and God works indirectly, but when we lose our ability to be thankful, we're in a lot of trouble. When you can't be thankful, then you have to take all the credit for everything in your life yourself. And that's a terrible situation to be in. I always want to be thankful. And so I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes tonight. The Bible has a great deal to say about it. And I have a little note here. It says, thankful is an emotion produced in response to some good or beneficial thing that happens or is done for us or to us. That is, when somebody does something good or when something good happens, we have an emotional response. We're thankful. See? So, thankfulness starts with an emotion. It's you having the good sense and the conscience to realize that somebody has been your benefactor and done something for you that you did not or could not do for yourself. Now, boy, when you get to think about what God's done, He's entitled to a lot of thankfulness. Amen? The Bible said over in Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now notice that in that little verse there, those two verses, when you come into God's house, when you come through the gates and into His courts, you ought to come with two things, thanksgiving and praise. Now I submit to you that those two go together. That when you are genuinely from the heart thankful for what God has done, it will automatically put praise on your lips and in your heart. You can't think of a single instance in your life where somebody has done good to you or good has happened to you that you didn't want to say thank you or glory to God or hallelujah or some declaration that expresses your gratitude and surprise and happiness about what occurred. Amen? So when good things happen, it automatically puts praise on your lips when you have that thankful spirit. I think sometimes, a lot of times, the reason our church services are so dead, so cold, is people have lost their sense of thankfulness to God for what He did for them, and what He is doing for them, and what He will do for them. They've lost that sense of awe and wonder at God's goodness and His long-suffering, and therefore the praises cease. If we could stay excited about God's goodness, if we could maintain that thankful spirit, if every day of our life we could look at our day and say, God bless me with that, and God bless me with that, and that's a gift from the Lord, the easiest thing in the world would be to sing His praises, shout His praises, testify to His glory and honor. Amen. The church would never be quiet. It would never be dry. It would never be sullen. It would never be boring. Why? Because all of God's people, with thanks filling their heart, would be willing to stand up and give praise for almost everything, almost any time. If our hearts were filled with thanksgiving like it ought to be, when the preacher preaches and he preaches on some attribute of God, or some goodness of God, or some characteristic of God that's been a blessing to us, how could you refrain your lips from saying, glory to God? See? Your praise would be a spontaneous outcry or outworking of your thankfulness. The truth is, we've lost our sense of thankfulness. America's so rich. Our poor are better off than most of the world. Poor people. I'm talking about poor people who can get welfare and Medicare and Medicaid and all the rest of it, and entitled to food stamps and WICs and all. They still got a television and a car and a telephone, running water and electricity in the house, central heat. Most of them got central air conditioning. Most of them got a cell phone and a computer. And they're poor folk. Being poor in America ain't too bad if you just want to know the truth. Amen. Now you say, well, oh, look at all them people. They got all the money and all they got all. Yeah, but look at the rest of the world. You can't look at the most affluent society in the world as the norm. We're just a little bitty percentage point of the total population of the planet. We're talking about 300 million people out of almost 6 billion. See? You're less than a percent. I mean, we're way down there. So you can't look at the prosperity of this nation and say and base poverty or being poor on what you see here. Take a look at the rest of the world. Then you can see poor. Go down to Jamaica. You can see some poor. Now, if we could get that in our head, we'd be thankful to God for His provision. Amen? And you wouldn't hear any Christians say, well, I'm just poor, you know. No, you're rich. You're born in America, saved by God's grace and in a Baptist church, got a King James Bible in your lap, you're alive and well and breathing. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You ought to be saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Instead of sitting around whining about we ain't got the latest Nintendo game. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. We need to make sure that we place our thankfulness in the right place. Amen. I work for a gentleman, and he's been a pretty good employer. I can't say anything bad about it. He's a good man. And you know, if he hadn't been a pretty good employer, I wouldn't have been there for 20-plus years. Now, I get aggravated with him like you do yours, and I think about it, I'm just going to tell him in the morning, this is my last day, you know, but I've been saying that for 20-plus years, and I'm still there. Amen. Like some of y'all. Why did I say that? Anybody remember? I'm thankful to Kenneth B. Melton for a job. It pays my bills, feeds my wife, you know. But beyond that, I'm thankful to God because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. Without God's blessing, there wouldn't be a Kenny Melton, and there wouldn't be a Melton heating and air conditioning, and I still wouldn't have a job. Amen. And so I don't mind being thankful to individuals for their contribution and their part in the overall program, but the bottom line is, it's from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The bottom of the line is God. Amen. And so I'm saying, thank you, Kenny. I appreciate it. You've been a good employer, and I thank God for keeping you healthy and keeping the company sound. Amen. Because without Him, I wouldn't have you. Amen. I'm not going to misplace or misdirect my thankfulness. All of my thankfulness, all of my praise is ultimately going to go toward heaven and toward God Almighty. Because without Him, you've got nothing. Amen. It said, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. Now, buddy, If you're saved by God's grace, unless you're just mentally retarded and you need state help, you need to get committed, you would have to testify that God is good.
Amen.
Amen? God is good. I know me better than anybody on the planet except maybe my wife. And sometimes I think she knows me better than I know me. But I know myself pretty well. I've tried to be introspective off and on and analyze my emotions, my feelings, what I believe, what I don't believe, what I'm committed to and what I can let slide and what I'm willing to stand for and what I'm not, you know, what I'm willing to die for and what I'm not. I want to know myself so that in a situation arises, I don't surprise myself. Somebody say amen. excuse me. Now, when I look at me, here's what I find. Now, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I find that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I find myself having to adopt a biblical position. We are of them that have no confidence in the flesh. You got that? Say, preacher, you don't think much of yourself. I don't think anything of me. I'm a worm, yea, less than a worm. Amen. In flesh dwelleth no good thing. And if God weren't good, I'd be dead and in hell years and years and years ago. Amen. You ever hear people say, well, you know, I'm not too bad a person. God is my witness. I've been saved 34 years and I've never made that statement. I can't do it. I can't get them words out of my mouth. I look at me and I know I'm not a pretty good person. Outside the grace of God and the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, I would be the wickedest human being you ever met in your life. And so would most of you. We run around with that facade. We wear our nice clothes and we shave and we look nice, you know, and we've got our little eye panda smile and all that. And we're socially polite and socially acceptable. And folks think we're pretty good people. And we get to believe in that nonsense. I'm here to tell you, son, strip away the facade and find the real man down below it and then put him to the test. Run temptation by him. Put opportunity in his path. Help, give him something to gratify his flesh or to inflate his ego. And watch how wicked he is and how quickly it comes to the surface. Amen. And if you don't think you're like that, you need to get on your face before Almighty God and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal yourself to you, because that's exactly the way you are. The Lord is good. The Bible said there's none good but one, and that's God. Now, I know we use the word good, and we use it in a relative sense. We compare ourselves to ourselves, you know, compared to some wicked person that runs a porno shop, I'd be a pretty good fella. But compared to Jesus Christ, let's don't go there. Somebody say amen. See? Compared to the perfect standard, you don't come up so hot, neither do I. So I understand that I'm not good. And that the only good I know and the only way I can ever do good or possess good is to possess Jesus Christ. All that nonsense about, you know, well, there's a little good in all of us. I don't know who told you that lie. I don't know who told you that. There ain't nothing any good in me. You say, well, preacher, you do this. Listen, that's Christ in me. There's none good but one, and that's God. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. When I got saved, God came in. And the only good I got is Christ in me. And I'm here to tell you, whether you like it or not, the only good in you is Christ in you. Amen? Then that verse said down there, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Now, you ought to know that so, because you're still breathing. And if God wasn't merciful, He'd have snuffed you out. You wouldn't have lived 5 minutes after you got saved, probably. I know for sure you wouldn't have made it 5 days. There ain't no way in the world you'd have made it 5 years. Amen? The Lord's mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, that little psalm says a lot about God and why we, you and I, ought to be thankful. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn over to Psalm 95. Y'all not too big a hurry tonight, are you? The Bible said in Psalm 95, verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Well, when you come before God, when you come in God's house, you ought to come with thankfulness and joy. You ought to come singing. I don't have a Bible verse for this. This is just personal, okay? I don't say Preacher Henze's teaching this. I'm not. But I must confess, for the life of me, I don't know how Christian people go day in and day out and not listen to gospel music all the time. I don't know how you can be saved by God's grace and listen to country and western, rock and roll, blues, jazz, whatever it is. Now, I could make a case against all of those forms of music, but I'm not. If you want to listen to it, that's your business. But I'm here to tell you, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I'm alive today because of the mercy and goodness of God, and all I want to do is praise Him. And you know what gospel music's all about? It's about praising God. It lifts your spirit, and it makes you want to say, hallelujah. I was going down the road the other day, that song Brother Elliot sings, cathedrals used to sing it, Once Upon a Hillside. I love that thing. Old George Johns was 63 years old when he recorded that record. And he does that thing right at the end. You know, it's kind of slow and it builds to a crescendo. And then it said, but when he left, he left them this promise to come back again. I'm telling you, that old man sings that thing and it will just make your blood curl. I mean, I don't know how in the world you could hear that and tears not fill your eyes. I was listening the other day and they sang this old song. It's an old, old kind of a country gospel song. And it's called, "I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You." Man, I was listening to that thing. I could think about walking hand in hand with my baby doll across heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Amen. I mean, I listen to them old songs and they all speak to me. I was talking to my wife here a year or so ago. I looked up in my Bible. I've got over 60 sermons where the thought for the sermon came from a gospel song. Naomi and the Siegel Brothers sang a song one time called "Wake the Town and Tell the People." I got a message on that song called "Wake the Town and Tell the People." And, you know, I mean, Poet Voices sang that song, His Love is Grace and Truth. What's the name of that song? Anyway, I got a sermon on that one. Yeah, Grace and Glory, that's it. Grace and Glory. That song that little old country boy sang about, I'm a winner either way, I got a message on that thing. I got over 50 of them off of God. Them things speak to me. They make me want to thank God. They help me to be thankful. They help me to be praiseful. They help to keep my mind stayed on God. I don't need anything to help me think about this old world and the things of this world. Amen. So I don't listen. They got a station on there that's got 50s and 60s bebop music. I used to love that stuff. You know, it's real simple music, real simple instrumentation. You could be a moron and sing it, you know. When I was a kid, I liked that stuff. Danny and Junior's At the Hop, you know, and that kind of, all that old stuff. I don't listen to it. So, well, preacher, don't you? Oh, I love it. But, man, if I could listen to what I want to, I'd get old Creedence Clearwater and I'd just play his stuff all the time. I loved him. I liked that music. I mean, you could tap your toes to it. You could sing along with it. You know, Bad Man Brown, you know, down on the quarter, matching nickel, flipping coins and nickel on whatever it was, you know. Bad Moon Rising, Proud Mary. I know all that stuff. I don't listen to none of it. I like gospel music. I want it to make me thankful and praiseful. I want music that's going to remind me of heaven and that I'm on my way to the city. Amen. I want music going to stir my heart, put tears in my eyes, make me feel like I'm ashamed. Make me want to get down on my knees and confess my sins and get right with God. That's the kind of music I want to listen to. Now, what did we look at? 95:2. All right, take the Bible, look back to chapter 92. Verse 1. It is a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's a good thing. God said it was a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing for you to want to praise His name. People come to church and you say, we're going to have testimony tonight. Who's got a word of praise? Here's 30, 40, 50 people sitting there, and ain't one hand goes up. That whole congregation backslid. That Bible said, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that lieth in you. Amen? Paul said, David said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Paul said, we also believe, therefore we do speak. Amen? The Bible said, and they that believe shall not be ashamed. Man, when the preacher says, who's got a word of testimony? Every hand in the building ought to go up every time. I would have to sit here and say, let's say, well, you went the last two times, it's your turn. Amen? Instead of saying, okay, go ahead, because you're the same one that jumped up last time, and the time before that, and the time before that. It ought to be as natural as breathing. You ought to get excited about it. You ought to look forward to it. You ought to say, go to church and say, well, I hope the preacher asks for testimony tonight. I got something I want to tell them because God has been good. Be thankful. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 106. I love this passage right here, Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that Thou bearest unto Thy people. O visit me with Thy salvation, that I may see the good of Thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of Thy nation, that I may glory with Thine inheritance. Ready? When that old boy gets to praising God, there's nothing he wants to leave out. Amen? He wants to be numbered with God's people. He wants to praise with God's people. He wants to lift up His voice. He wants to be thankful. And He said, people that do that are blessed. Amen? You know, our country started. We're doing Thanksgiving tomorrow. The first Thanksgiving, does anybody know who was there? So, the Pilgrims and the Indians. Okay. There were 54 pilgrims. 54 pilgrims. 50 were men and children. 4 were women. And there were 90 Indians. 4 women, 50 men and kids, and 90 Indians for the first Thanksgiving. Now, they just spent months on the Mayflower getting over here. And I can't even imagine what that must have been like. I know you see them sailing movies and you see all them old sail ships and you think, oh, how majestic, how regal, how enchanting. You obviously never been on one. Ain't enough room on there to breathe. There are absolutely no sanitary facilities and there is no privacy. There's no water to bathe. It was rough. Men and women and kids for 3 months, 120 days, crossing 5,000 miles of salt water. Hallelujah. It took a lot of grace just to get here. They got here and there wasn't much food left. They had no medicine and no doctors. And they went into that first winter totally ill-prepared. But you know what they did? They took what little they had and thanked God for it. I don't care how little's on your plate tomorrow. I don't care how little you think you've had in this past year. I'm here to tell you God Almighty kept you alive for another year and fed you and clothed you and kept you healthy. You need to make Mara and be thankful all day long. Most of us are going to have a big old meal tomorrow. Now, I don't know what you're having. Different folks do different things. But I bet you it'll be a meal bigger than your normal meal. And you'll probably have desserts and sweets and treats. And you'll eat big and nap or play and eat snacks and leftovers for a while and go to work on Friday way too fat and way too full. It's because God's been good to you. God's been good to you. God's been good to all of us. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 116, and we'll close with this, more or less. Psalm 116. Let's start in verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Now, surely everybody understands that's so. I shouldn't have to elaborate on that at all. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Am I in the right place? I'm in the wrong place. Am I right? No, that's wrong verse. That's supposed to be 116. I'm sorry. I was looking at 118. Y'all just have to forgive me. I just had a little slip there. I'm not seeing your moment. Verse 10. 116:10. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Now, there's the question. There's the question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The guy's acknowledging God has daily loaded him with benefits, that God's mercies have been new every day. And he's saying, what can I give back to God for all that He's given to me? Verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We all profess to have done that. Everybody here says they're saved. Amen. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. So this is a congregational thing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid, and Thou hast loosed my bonds. He's rejoicing to God for setting him free. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. He said, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now the question started out, what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I give to God for all of His benefits toward me? When I look and see what God has done, how He has blessed and how He has kept and how He's provided and how He's protected. You say, well, I've had a bad year and this happened and that happened. I can relate to that. I had a bad year myself. I had a lot of things happen I never anticipated in my wildest imagination. But I'm here to tell you that in the midst of every storm on the darkest night that I ever lived, God Almighty was right there and walked with me hand in hand, and I was never alone and never forsaken, and God was always present. So what did He do? He sustained me, and He kept me, and He comforted me, and He got me through it. What shall I render unto Him for His benefits to me? All He asks is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He just wants to hear from your heart. Thank you, Lord. You see, the Lord knows that there are not enough descriptive adjectives. There's not enough verbs and nouns and pronouns, and there's not enough vocabulary for us to adequately describe or detail what God's done for us. If the oceans were ink, and every writer's pen, every writer's quill, a ready pen, and you wrote till the oceans were dry, you couldn't tell half the story. So God said, I'll make it easy for you. Thanks. 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 I can thank my wife tonight for being a faithful and godly helpmate. And she has been. I can thank Brother Lewis tonight for being a faithful and dependable associate pastor. I can thank most of you for something in this past year. And mean every word of it. Mean every word of it. But when I get through, the bulk of, the majority of, the preponderance of my thanksgiving goes to God, my Savior. Without whom, I am nothing. Tonight, let's honestly take the time to reflect and thank God for His goodness. Father, we thank You tonight. You have...